Okay, well, good morning, everybody. I'd like to start this presentation by acknowledging the financial support of NSERC, which is the Canadian analog to NSF, and our three industrial partners, Albion, Suncor, and Syncrude. Now in Alberta, from an economical point of view, we are in a way very blessed because this is where we have the Athabasca oil sand deposits. And these are absolutely huge deposits of bitumen, which is a very viscous form of crude oil. Estimated total reserves are 315 billion barrels of oil. And this actually places Canada, in terms of oil reserves, second in the world after, of course, Saudi Arabia. Now, a key characteristic of the Athabasca deposit is that it's shallow enough that about 10% can be recovered through surface mining. So together with this great, I guess, economical bonus comes the obvious price to pay, which is environmental impact to the land. The area affected to date covers 430 square kilometers, and it's likely that it's going to increase by at least four times within the next 10 years. So following mining comes the challenge of land reclamation. Now, entire ecosystems actually need to be reconstructed at the landscape level, and soils that are recovered or salvaged prior to mining are used as the cover on these reconstructed landforms. The organic component of reclaimed soils in the region is mainly peat, because this is what we have available in large portions of the mining footprint. Something very important to understand also is the mandate of the oil sand companies in the area is not, the mandate is actually to return the land to equivalent capability. So it's understood that ecosystems are not restored to pre-mining conditions. What's actually happening is that, here we are with the pointer. Peatlands that are being mined are actually being reclaimed to upland forest soils. Now, from a research point of view, the main question is, how can we assess that these still very young reclaimed soils here are going to develop so that, let's say 50, 100 years down the road, they're going to actually become similar to natural upland forest soils. So the basic concept we're using is that actually these reclaimed soils on a sustainable trajectory here are going to evolve. And as vegetation and associated organic matter develop, eventually the target ecosystems are going to fall within the range of natural viability in terms of their key response variables. So this is the concept. From a practical point of view, what we do is that we compare key response variables in reclaimed soils to the range of natural diversity. So this is actually part of a larger program, also in association with the University of British Columbia, where we've identified and are quantifying three factors of sustainability. So we are looking at nutrient supply, organic matter quality, and microbial communities. For today, what I'm focusing on is organic matter quality. And I'm going to talk about three key response variables, its distribution among pool, and its chemical composition at a macromolecular and a molecular level. Very briefly, the molecular level part of it. So for this study, we included 24 reclaimed sites. So these are spanning a range of reclamation prescriptions and also a range of age or time since reclamation. And because we are very interested, and we are very interested in quantifying the range of natural viability in the area, we also included 18 natural sites. So these are fully replicated, and these range from what we call A1 and B1 ecosites. So these are moisture limited, nutrient poor, very sandy soil supporting what typically jack pine stands, all the way to wetter, more nutrient rich, typically finer textured soils that support white spruce or a mixture of aspen and white spruce. So going from I guess rhynisolic soils or incepti soils according to the USDA classification to luvy soils or alfie soils. From an analytical point of view, so we obtain samples from all these sites, actually the 0 to 10 centimeter depth interval, and we fractionated these samples, so using a combination of density and size fractionation to separate and quantify total carbon content in the different organic matter pools. All of these samples were also analyzed by solid state NMR, which is well, I guess I can say rapidly becoming the standard method for the macromolecular characterization of soil organic matter composition. And well, in a nutshell, what's going on with this method is that each atom of carbon, depending on its chemical environment, is going to resonate at a slightly different frequency here on a NMR spectrum so that we can separate and differentiate among different forms of carbon. And finally, I'll say a few words about the use of phenol molecules as vegetation biomarkers. So this graph is presenting organic matter distribution in these soils, and as you can see here, in the natural soils, as compared to the reclaimed, proportionally more carbon was associated with a finer silt and clay-sized mineral particles. Well, these results are not surprising in view of the differences in age of the different soils, the reclaimed and the natural. The natural soils in this area typically have had 8,000 years to develop since the last glaciation, and our reclaimed soils, on the other hand, are at the most 25 years old. So what's going on here is, as pedogenesis occurs, well, proportionally more organic matter becomes humified and then becomes stabilized and recoverable in that silt and clay fraction. In terms of organic matter composition analysis by NMR, the first thing we can do is, well, look at the spectra themselves. So as you can see here, both spectra are dominated by the O-alkyl carbon region, but you can see that the alkyl carbon is somewhat higher under jack pine than it is under white spruce vegetation. And alkyl carbon, this is carbon that's present in long carbonated chains in molecules such as fatty acids or waxes. Now, to analyze this data in a little bit more quantitative manner, what we do is we use ordination techniques. So what we do in that case is we use the integrated areas of the different spectral areas here as different chemical species, and we analyze these with ordination. And in our case, we use non-metric multidimensional scaling or NMS analysis. So this is what this graph is showing here, NMS analysis looking at organic matter composition in a range of natural soils. So when you look at a graph like that, it's important to understand that each point actually represents one sample, and basically the closer two points are, the more similar their chemical compositions are going to be. Now, points are color-coded by the type of vegetation that was present at the site, and I hope you can readily see here that points are grouping or clustering according to these different colors or vegetation. And this is confirmed by the MRPP analysis here, which is indeed showing highly significant differences among vegetation types. So more specifically, Under jackpine, we find a high alkyl carbon content. The red circle here actually corresponds to samples taken under aspen vegetation that are characterized by high carbonyl carbon, which is a more oxidized form of carbon. And finally, in these peatlands, we have very high amount of O-alkyl carbon, so carbon associated with carbohydrate moieties, such as cellulose and hemicelluloses. Now, if we go back to the problem or the question of land reclamation in the oil sand regions, we may expect that with time, in the reclaimed soils, organic matter composition is going to shift from this very high O-alkyl carbon signature to greater signals in different areas of the spectra. So, particularly, we might expect an increase in alkyl carbon content. So this is now showing results, second NMS graphs, for this time both natural and reclaimed soils. And with the exception of actually two sites, which I'm going to try and point, okay, that one and that one, so these two reclaimed sites, and I won't go into detail why these two sites are different. That's not the purpose of the presentation today. Anyway, with the exception of these two, composition in the reclaimed sites was still statistically different from composition in the natural soils. What was interesting here was that actually most of the variability in the data could be explained by changes in the O-alkyl and alkyl carbon ratio. So when you go from the reclaimed to the natural soils, we did observe a decrease in O-alkyl, an increase in alkyl carbon, hence an increase in the alkyl over O-alkyl carbon ratio. So if I put in text now what I've presented so far with graphs and spectra, within the natural soils, NMR analysis did show clear differences in soil organic matter composition linked to the type of vegetation present at the site. Also interestingly, we did find actually a negative correlation between the carbonyl carbon content in the light fraction and the amount of carbon contained in the clay and silt fraction. So what's going on in these sites very likely is that as oxidative degradation of litter increases, as would be indicated by an increase in the carbonyl carbon, proportionally less of this litter would be, well, actually proportionally more may be respired, and less would then be humified and stabilized within the clay and silt fraction. We didn't see that correlation in the reclaimed soil. For the reclaimed soils, there were differences linked to reclamation treatment, and again, I'm not presenting that in any detail today. These soils were also still, as a whole, statistically different from the natural soils, but the, I guess the very interesting thing here is that solid-state NMR actually allowed us to follow the changes or the evolution in organic matter composition in these reclaimed sites with time since reclamation, and specifically we did see a decrease in O-alkyl, an increase in alkyl, an increase in the alkyl carbon over O-alkyl carbon ratio that was significantly correlated to time since reclamation. Okay, to finish this presentation, and I actually don't have any experimental data to present to you today, but I thought I would say a few words about the characterization of soil organic matter composition, this time at the molecular level. So for this, what we're choosing to do is we're actually following lignin-derived phenols. So in the case of vanillin units, this may be used as biomarkers of coniferous vegetation. In the case of syringyl units, this may be used as biomarkers of deciduous vegetation like aspen here. In all cases, what we would expect is that in the reclaimed soils, the signature of these molecules should increase with time, since reclamation, as new woody litter is being added to the soils. Well, on the other hand, phenols that can also be of non-lignin origin, such as p-hydroxyphenols, have been shown to be produced in actually very high amount by sphagnum moss, and for these we would expect that the signature would decrease with time since reclamation. Okay, so in conclusion of this presentation today, we are using three factors to characterize soil organic matter quality in the reclaimed soils and to compare these to the range of natural viability in natural soils in the area. First of all, distribution among carbon pools was significantly different between the reclaimed and the natural soils, but I don't think this is going to be changing in the foreseeable future, not within the next 50 or 100 years. These processes take a lot of time. On the other hand, macromolecular characterization by NMR, interestingly, and somewhat to my surprise, was sensitive enough to actually detect changes and evolution of organic matter composition in the reclaimed soils. And specifically, we saw with time an increase in the alkyl over O-alkyl carbon ratio. And finally, we are now considering the use of phenol biomarkers to separate more specifically between the contribution of peat and woody litter to soil organic matter composition in these soils. Thank you, and I don't know if time allows, but I'll be happy to address any comments or answer any questions you may have.